Welcome to week number 4 of this series that we started at the beginning of the year. And again, we're just calling this Now is the Time. Everybody say, Now is the Time. We're going to have a lot of fun with this one you did today, you guys. Oh, I'm so excited about this one. First things first, I totally forgot earlier, if you are watching online, we just want to say we love you. Thank you for joining in with us today. You're very much a part of this service as we are here today, and so get your Bible out or your Bible app, unless you're watching on the phone, I don't know how that works semantically, but just go ahead and get it together, and you can follow along. It's going to be a great day in the presence of the Lord. So I got a lot to do today. Get out your message notes. If you did not get a handout and you want to follow along, raise your hand. These ushers will assist you real quick. If you're new to the church, I like to use these handouts so you can follow along with the scripture, so you can see my translations that I'm using, so you can write things out. It helps you to retain this information. Also, I'm pretty sure it's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt. I just made that up. That's not true. But it does help you, so make sure you get that and follow along. Ushers will hook you up. So we built this whole teaching series around the single thought that a lot of us know what we ought to do. A lot of us have a desire in our heart what we think we should be doing, but for some reason, we're not doing it. What's holding us back? What's the deal? What's keeping us from stepping out and doing what we know God's called us to do and becoming who God's called us to be? And what is it that keeps us from moving forward? And so a lot of us, what we determined was we need just a little bit of a push, just a little bit of a shove. And I feel like that's kind of my role as lead pastor, senior pastor here at New Life Church, to make sure I give you that little shove. And I shared with you the story of that time where I was stuck behind somebody down on Route 60. Is right by that Toyota, Advantage Toyota car place. And that's where you turn left to head down Route 60. And that's where I live. And so we were turning down that way, and there was a car that was, the light was green. I know how long it takes for me to get through that light so I can turn left. I know how long that green light typically is, and so I'm getting a little aggravated, a little agitated. They were, you know, it was early that day, so for some reason they were on their phone, or maybe they were eating their cereal. I don't know what people do anymore nowadays. They do crazy stuff while they're driving. And so anyway, they weren't moving. And what I gave them was a little courtesy love honk. Meep, meep. Meep, meep, like Roadrunner. And what I really wanted to do was honk, move. I got to go. I got stuff to do. Move it, dude. You know, I really wanted to lay on the horn and just go after him because I wanted him to move. It's time to move. And so as a pastor spiritually, that's what's burning in my heart for the beginning of 2020 is to get everybody moving. Let's get us moving here. And so instead of me honking the horn and blaring and being harsh and mean and cruel and hard and mean and cruel and all that, I'm going to be kind. Beep, beep. I'm going to give you a little honk, honk. Just get you going, get you moving. Reminder that you need to get that, you know, push the accelerator and get this thing moving, so we can get going and unstuck. So I found a great quote. I want to put it on the screen, and maybe you've heard this before. Stephen Covey says this. He says, "If we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting." You keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And for a lot of us, here's what happens. We want spiritual growth. And when we don't get that spiritual growth, we get frustrated. We want things in our life to change. And so what happens is we've got high hopes and big vision. And we talked about this last Sunday. You know, our vision and our hopes are up here. The problem is the strategy, plans, and disciplines to get there are down here. And they're not working out. Something's not clicking here. We've got these great hopes, we've got this great vision, but unless your habits change, you're not going to see this change take place. And so you're going to end up just as frustrated at the end of this year as you did last year. Because you have all these aspirations, all these dreams, all these great ideas, and you keep thinking to yourself, yeah, I'll get there, I'll get there, I'll get there, but you don't place the habits and discipline where they need to go in order to accomplish it. And so you end up frustrated, you end up a little aggravated, and then you end up a little depressed because you didn't get there again, or something didn't change that you hoped to change again, and you're dealing with the same thing all over again. And so we understand this. We've got to get our actions in alignment here. You know, the Bible teaches this, that faith without works is dead, is a very strong word, isn't it? He says faith without that action is dead. And so we understand this. So Jesus started to dig into this a little bit. And he started preaching something, started talking about hopes, and started talking about what was necessary for us to see this change take place. And it began to be central in all of the sermons and messages that he preached from a certain point on. In fact, the Bible says from this point on, he started preaching. In other words, from this point on, no matter what he preached, this was the core of what he was accomplishing. This is what he was going after. And it's in your notes, Matthew chapter 3. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so this thought of repentance, Jesus starts to introduce. The Bible says he preaches this everywhere he goes. Now, a lot of us, we mistakenly think that when you hear the word repent, what you're referring to is someone who is holy, like a super Christian, and they're pointing out to a big heathen sinner all the things that are wrong in their life. Repent, turn or burn, or whatever, you know. That's what we think of in our head. But that's not even close to what it means. In fact, the word repent in the Greek, it's the word metanoeo, and that word essentially means change your thinking, change your mind. And so what Jesus is after is he's saying, listen, you want to see change in your life. I want you to see this change in your life, but I don't want you to change just for the sake of change. I want you changing so you can see my kingdom established in your life. So Jesus says, change your life, change your thinking, change your mind. Let me renew it. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me instruct you. And if you'll do it, guess what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, listen, two things here. One is this. That a lot of us, the reason why we struggle is because we got the wrong king in charge. We got the wrong king in charge. Instead of placing Jesus king over our lives, we've decided to be king over our own lives. And I don't know if you've learned this the hard way. I definitely have. I'm a terrible king. I like to pretend in my head that I would be an awesome king. I'd be like King Arthur, and I'd be swiping stuff and chopping heads and all this. I don't know, maybe that wasn't so nice, was it? But I would be, you know, this amazing king, but I've already proven to myself I'm a terrible king over myself. I'm a lousy king because I don't do well ruling my own life. And so Jesus says, listen, if you'll make me king over your life, this is what you get access to, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, but it won't happen if you're king over your life. You've got to make me king over your life. And I love that he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because a lot of us think that the things God wants for us are so far off. We think that the things that God wants for us are so difficult to achieve, and I don't know that I can get there, and I don't know how long is this going to take. And he says, no, if you just follow me, make me king of your life, it's at hand, it's near, it's closer than you think. It's closer than you believe. So if you'll trust me on this, you'll start to see my kingdom start to operate in your life, the blessing and the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and all the things that come with serving Jesus. He says, it's real close, but you got to make me king. And he gets into this and he starts to preach this. And then he goes on to say this. He says, this kingdom, it'll be established. And so I thought, so here's my big thought for today's message. This is the theme, the thesis, so to speak. It's, and we've gone with the whole now is the time vibe. And I'm going to follow that with now is the time to really get it together. I mean, it's time to really get it together, get our life together. And when I say that, it is time to absolutely prioritize God in our lives. Because I have this thought, and I believe this about pretty much just about everybody in here, that to some measure, we all have a little bit of God, maybe a lot of God in our lives. I mean, you got enough God that you showed up to church this morning. That's a good thing. Give yourself a little hand. That was a very little hand. Y'all didn't think that was a big deal. That's all right. I was going to brag on you for a minute. No, it's too late. You missed it. Oh, yeah, now you cheer yourself. Jeez. Yeah, congratulations. You've made him Lord of your life. You're serving him. You love Jesus. What that means is you're going to heaven. That's a really great place to say amen this morning. The big question is, but have you given God the right to all of you? That's a question I have to ask myself, and it's a question you have to ask yourself. Nobody's exempt from this question. Have you given your life completely? Have you given God access to all of you? A lot of us like to nitpick and choose. We like to be selective with what we really give God access to. When it comes to heaven and hell, yeah, I want to give God access to that part because I want to spend eternity in heaven. Burning in hell don't sound so nice, right? A lot of different things we give God access to. We want peace in our hearts, and so we don't have, you know, we don't deal with all the turmoil and all the stress and all the issues. And so when it comes to being sick, we want God to be our healer. We want all these things. But then there's parts that we haven't given Him access to, that we completely remove Him from or don't allow Him. And so, and a lot of us haven't actually said this out loud. It's not like we've said, all right, God, I'm going to give you my salvation. I'm going to give you this part of me, but I'm not giving you. We've not articulated that or written that down. But you communicate that by how you live your life. And the Bible has something really cool to say about that. In Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to read out of the Message paraphrase. You've got it in your notes so you can follow along. I love the way the Message just brings out the truth. Remember, the Message is a paraphrased version of the Bible. And so you got to know that when we read this, but it just helps you to understand difficult scriptures, makes it a little easier. But this is what the Bible says. So make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted and taken care of all your day-to-day obligations. So the distractions of life, all the day-by-day, all the things that we go through. He says, don't lose track of the time. Don't doze off and get oblivious to God. And so essentially, this is God honking the horn, honk, honk at you. This is Him saying, hey, pay attention. Wake up here. This night is about over. In other words, we're running out of time. How many of you sense that? It feels like time is coming to a close. Didn't it get a little tense whenever you start talking about that? But it feels that way. He says, listen, you're running out of time. Dawn is about to break. Be up. And what? Awake. Be alert to what God is doing. And I'm trying to make that case before you all today that, listen, God in many of us began a work of salvation. And for a lot of us, that work was so well, and we were moving so great, and we were moving so fluidly and so passionately embracing, pursuing God, His will, His purpose and plan for our life. And for some reason, a lot of us have hit a stall. It's just been, stagnant, stuck. Light is green, but for some reason, we're not moving. And so I'm here today to convince you, listen, that work of salvation that God began in you, the Bible says He wants to complete in you. He wants to keep working on you. Let's keep looking on the scripture. God's saying, I'm gonna work this in you. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work that He began when we first believed. Listen to this. He says, we cannot afford to waste a single minute in this. A single minute in this. So He says, don't squander this. Don't squander the daylight hours. He says, or you squander this, you waste this, you'll end up in 2021 the same way you are right now. He says, you'll be in January of 2021 thinking, man, I wish I would have, if only I had. He says, that's a terrible way to be. And God says, that's not my plan for you. Same issue, same place, same problems. He says, we're supposed to not get involved, avoid the frivolity and the indulgence of the earth and sleeping around and dissipation, bickering, grabbing everything in sight. So He says, let's go. Let's get out of bed. Let's get dressed. Don't loiter. Don't linger. Don't wait until the last minute. Dress yourselves up in Christ and be up and about. I love that. Very clear direction. And so we've said in this series that there is very clearly a better life that God wants us all to live. There just is. And you need to believe that this morning first, but there's a better life for all of us that's available for us, and we've made the claim that even in this year, we're pursuing joy. Because it felt like last year, there was just a lot of people absent, void of any kind of joy. Even when good things happened in their lives, they still seemed to struggle through it because they focused on all the bad things and all the tension and all the issues instead of focusing on the goodness of God. And I don't know about you, you can join me on my journey, but I plan on pursuing joy with everything I got this year. I'm finding ways to be joyful. Finding ways, even when it don't make sense, because the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength no matter what. And so we talked about that. There's this better life for every single one of us. And I put this phrase in my notes, and I've got it on screen for you. The moment you put God at the center of your life, that's when you're going to have the great joy that He promised. I mean, it's. I believe that for every single one of us, there's this moment, there's this point where we have to choose, where you've got to make the decision that I'm going to put Jesus first. I'm going to put God first, that I'm going to pursue the joy. And then whenever you make this decision, And there's a lot of us, again, that we really love God in here today. I believe that. We love God, but there's this moment where you choose to say, God, I invite you. I allow you the right to every aspect of my life. Not just my salvation, not just my eternity, but every aspect of my life, my emotions, my relationships, my habits. It's a very powerful decision that you'll make, and the change can begin the moment you make that choice. That's when you give. When you make that decision in your heart, you are at that point actively working with God and His purpose for your life. And you're giving Him the right to now work through you. But it starts right here. It starts with the decision you have to make. How many of you wish, just take a little side for just a moment. How many of you wish that you could have a day where you could just say, speak the absolute truth. I mean, unfiltered truth to people. Without any repercussions at all. I mean, you could just let it out. Anybody, family, friends, whatever. And there would be no consequences. None at all. I mean, you're like, yeah, you're dating losers. Everybody sees it. Why don't you know you're dating losers? Or, you know, I mean, that kind of honesty. Wouldn't that be fun? I've thought about that. I miss this because Megan and I were youth pastors for like 5 years, and one of the beautiful things about youth ministry is that you can be that blunt honest with teenagers. And if they know you love them, they still receive it and love you back. They do. At least they did back when we were youth pastors. They're weird now. I don't know. I have a couple of my own, and I'm still trying to figure it out. So anyway, back then, you could be super honest. So if a kid was an idiot, you know what I was able to do as a youth pastor? I was able to go, you're an idiot. That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Or that was stupid. Why would you, you know, and these kids would kind of like, yeah, I know, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I shouldn't have done that. You know, and I was thinking, man, I miss that. Isn't that great? I miss that so much. Because wouldn't it be nice to have that again? I can't do that with you guys. Because if I'm that honest with you guys, y'all won't come back. Just snowflakes. Lord, I apologize for that. Lord, have mercy. Can't do that as lead pastor anymore, but I miss it. So here's what I thought of for today's message, and I'm going to get into it in a moment. But I thought, what would it look like if I preached a message to you all where I didn't pull any of the punches back, where I just let it rip? I mean, I was just blunt in your face. I got to say what I wanted to say and talk about what I wanted to talk about, and I didn't worry about it hurting or offending anybody. I just went for it. Now listen, I'm not going to do that because I love you, but I'm going to preach and show you what it would be like if I did. So you can't get mad at me today because I'm not actually doing it. I'm just going to show you what that message would look and sound like if I did. You following? I don't want to do it, but if I did, here's what it'd look like. As I was putting this together, I thought, there's some key areas that we need to get together. I mean, some real key areas that we need to get together. And again, if I was going to preach a message just super straight up, no pulling punches, this is what it would sound like. So we need to get it together. Now, if you don't like this and you don't want to hear it and you don't want to follow along, it don't matter to me. That's fine. Listen, I can preach this to you, but I can't live it for you. I get that. And if you want to keep living the way you're living, keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to show you some alternatives. I'm going to show you some alternatives through the Word of God and through the Kingdom of God, what He can do and what God can do in your life. So I made this list of things that need to change in our lives, and it was about 25 items on this list, and I picked 4. You're welcome. By the way, none of these are about relationships, because on February 9th, when we start the 2-service Sunday, we're diving right into relationships, and that's a big area that we need to work on, and we're going to get into it. But none of these have to do with relationships like marriage and single life or parenting or anything like that. We're going to get into that later. Because that starts in a couple weeks. We'll give you more of that in February. Number one, if you're writing down notes, write this down. Now is the time to take control of your schedule. First issue, now is the time to take control of your schedule. When I look at people, I see a lot of people, their lives are a mess. And one of the main reasons why is because their life's out of balance. I mean, totally out of whack, totally out of balance. And what ends up happening is you're trying to get too much done with your life. You're trying to grab too much life. There's too little of you, too much life, and you're trying to do too much all at once, and you're out of balance, and you're stressed out, and you're frustrated. And when you can't accomplish what you'd like to accomplish in the time you think you should be accomplishing it, you feel inadequate. You feel less than. You feel like I'm not measuring up. And then you compare yourself to other people who you think are accomplishing what you wish you were accomplishing, and you're still not measuring up, and it's this cycle of devastation. No balance. Some of you have been so busy, you don't have time for God. God is Sunday to you. Sunday for about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes, and if Pastor Josh is long-winded, maybe an hour and a half. Out of balance. And this is what the Bible has to say about that. Look in Ecclesiastes, it's on your notes on the screen. It's better to have one handful and have some peace, have some tranquility in your life than to have two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So the Bible knows it's human nature for us to try to grab on too much. And so some of us have justified all that's going on in our lives because of things, but I got two hands. I got two hands. So clearly I got two hands to grab two handfuls. And the problem is, you've got no peace, you've got no tranquility, you've got no rest, and you are burning out. You are burning out, and it is contributing to a lot of issues, emotional issues, depression kicking in, physical issues because of the emotional issues, and your body's breaking down, you're sick all the time, you're not taking care of yourself, all this going on simply because you think, I can handle it, and you're proving to everybody that you can't. It's time to get these schedules back in order. You are meant by God to have days of rest. In other words, your life is supposed to have margin in it. Margin, space for God to work through, for God to use, for God to bring peace and rest into. Your schedule demands it. If we had a chance to sit down and have some coffee today, talk some things out, my fast ends in just a couple hours, and I'm going to basically throw my face into a big chocolate cake. As if we were to sit there, and I was wiping the cake off my face, and we were sitting drinking coffee, what I would ask you absolutely right to your eye, I would say, hey, listen, how do you organize your day? How are your days and how are your weeks organized? Because I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to get to where God wants you to be in your life until you start to prioritize this right here. And the issue is not, it's not important to prioritize a schedule. It's important to schedule your priorities. And who are you prioritizing? See, it's my position, it's my place to help you to make sure that you are putting God at the center of your priorities and then scheduling God. And I know that that doesn't make any sense. Do I need to schedule God? You absolutely need to schedule God because you haven't up till now and it's not working. And so I've got to make sure that God is at the center of your life, that He is given first place, not second, not third, first place. Jeremiah 6:16, the Bible says this, anytime we're at a new year, I love this, He says, you stand at a crossroads. Every time we're at a new year, it feels like a crossroads, doesn't it? Like we've got opportunity to choose something new, to choose right or left, or that fork in the road, which direction we're going to go. And He says, you stand at the crossroads, and you're looking around, you're trying to figure out your life, and He says, ask for the ancient paths. I thought, that's an interesting way to put that, because the Bible's old. This was written a long time ago. And even then, He says, ask for the ancient paths. In other words, what He's saying is, find the smart people and do what they did. Find the people who operated with the wisdom and instruction and guidance of God and do what they did. Listen, Some of y'all need to ask your grandparents how they got so much accomplished in their life because they were able to get it done. They worked, they prioritized. Some of them didn't, some of them did. He says, go back to these ancient paths. And what He's teaching us is there are some timeless principles that God has placed in humanity for us to thrive in. And we're avoiding them. We're staying so consumed with schedule and busy, and we think by busy we're productive, and we're not. We're inefficient. We're sick. We're miserable. And he's saying, this is not working. Like, let me get real practical. It's some of us. Now, I know there's some those of you who work nights. And if you work nights, and if you're especially here today and you just worked last night, God bless you. You are a saint and we love you. Thank you. But I know that if you're not working nights, I know that some of you, you need to go to sleep and get some rest. Part of your issue, probably half of your issues would be if you just go to bed at a decent hour and wake up at a decent hour. It was deep revelation, wasn't it? I went to church and Pastor Josh told me to go to sleep. Amen. I'm telling you, that's hitting somebody right now because there's people who stay up all night. They're struggling. They're sick all the time. It's what successful people do. They get rest. They don't stay up late. They wake up early. It's the truth. Do a little study on that. Don't have time to get into it today. Remember, I'm preaching a message that this is what I would say if I could be blunt. Just remember that as we get into this. And I would say this too, that if you're not giving God the first of this, you're not giving Him your best. You're not giving Him your all. This is important. This is very, very important. So I'm going to make this as easy as I possibly can. A few pastoral recommendations from Pastor Josh right now. So here, before you turn on your phone, and before you wake up and look at Instagram and see all the pictures, and before you get, God knows, before you get up and turn on the news and see all the mess that's going on with that, before you get up and make yourself breakfast, before you get up and do just about anything, you're allowed to do two things first before you do this, okay? When you first wake up, you're allowed to pee, and you're allowed to make coffee because God loves him some heaven bean juice. Come on. Those are the two, and that coffee makes all the rest of this flow better. Those are the only two things that you are allowed to do first, before. And I'm going to encourage you to do what I'm going to put on the screen and give God the first 15. And I'm calling it the first 15. And it's very, 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 very simple. You're going to give him the first 15. You see it? You're giving him the first 5 minutes reading the Bible. So you're going to study the Word of God. You're going to give him the 5 minutes in worship. You know, that's just one worship song. That's it. Not even that. And then you're going to give him 5 minutes in prayer. You're going to give him your first 15. That's what you're going to do because you're going to start prioritizing God first in your schedule. When you pray, start with thanksgiving. Always enter into his courts, into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. So you start by study, by praise, and then you start to honor him and tell him thank you for the day. And then after you thank him, then make your requests. Let him know, God, I'm asking for this today. I'm asking for that today. Well, Pastor Josh, you don't understand. My morning's so crazy and so busy. Wake up 15 minutes earlier. Go to bed 15 minutes sooner. Wake up 15 minutes sooner. Prioritize this. Put him first in your life. This is so important. It's so important. I don't know, Pastor Josh. I got that one under control. All right. Maybe that one didn't hit you. And maybe you're rocking that schedule. You stay rested, and if that is you, then I'm actually pumped, and that's awesome. But I promise you, one of these next three are going to speak to you, because they spoke to me. Next one. Again, this is not what I'm telling you, but if I was going to tell you, this is what it would sound like. Remember that when I get into this one. And now is the time for a bunch of us to regulate what's going in our minds and in our bodies. I mean, regulate it, because a lot of us, we have no filter. We've got no gate on our eyes. We have no gate on our ears. We have no gate on our mouth. And you've got to have a gate on all three of those, because what you are placing into your mind, into your body, what you are seeing, hearing on a regular basis, if it is not producing life, guess what it's producing? Oh, this is serious right here. It's destroying you. Pastor Josh, what are you talking about? Let me get real plain. Because again, if we were having a conversation, I'm wiping the cake off my face, we're about to drink some coffee, I would ask you about the music you listen to. I would ask you about the movies that you're watching. I'd ask you about the books that you're reading. I'd ask you about the websites that you're currently clicking on. I would ask you about how much you drink alcohol. I would ask you about the drugs and prescriptions that you take. I would ask you about all these things. I would ask you if that prescription was still valid, because you were given a prescription for painkillers and you took them for the time allotted, but then after that ended, you kept taking them. And a lot of us are living our life pretending like nobody knows what's going on. Do you think I'm naive this morning to know, to not realize that that's happening in this region? Probably happening to many in my own church. We lead the country in opioid addiction around here. Don't you give me that. I know better. I know that it's happening here. I know what's taking place. I know what's going on. I mean, the pornography is there. It's there. We got to deal with this. So what do? It's time to get this back in order. We've got to regulate this. For some of us, you need to back off some of the things that you're doing. For many of us, you need to cut it out completely. Now is the time to get it together. Now is the time to get this right. Now listen, I understand that all of us are in different places in our walk with the Lord. A couple months ago when we did our first 21 days of prayer and fasting, people were writing down what they were fasting and believing God for. And one guy showed me, he was like, hey, I'm fasting this. I was like, well, what you got? And on the card, he said, I'm fasting beer. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Good decision. Me too. I'm trying to make him feel good. But I was like, you know what? That's where he's at. I'm praise the Lord for that. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? And so he was like, all right, well, stick with it, buddy. You've chosen wisely. But here's the question that we all, where am I at in this? Where am I at in this? I mean, be honest. Be honest. You can fool me and I can fool you, but none of us can fool God. And it's ridiculous. There's a whole other teaching attached to this, but it's ridiculous to try. It's actually offensive to God that we try. He looks at us like, what is wrong with you? I'm God. Made you. Kind of know what's going on. You made a sandwich. Congrats. I made all of heaven and earth. But we all have to get to this place where we decide how much secular we're going to allow in. When I say secular, I mean non-God. How much non-God are we going to invite and allow in our lives? You know, for me, it's my goal to squeeze out as much non-God as I possibly can. Get it out of my life. More of Him, less of me, less of non-God. I want more of God as I possibly can have. Now, this is what I hear a lot in this region. And you'll probably identify with this, or maybe you've heard somebody say this yourself. What I hear is this conversation. People say, and I've heard this for years. You ready? They say, but Pastor Josh, God still loves me anyway, okay? He still loves me anyway, even if I do this. He's not going to stop loving me if I do this. He's not going to stop, you know. God still loves me, and it's okay for me. And here's my response. It's in a scripture. Pull it up on the screen, 1 Corinthians 10. He says, I've got the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I've got the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. So fun, you can do it. It's legal. God says, you've got the right. You've got the right. You can do it if you want. It's in the scripture. But he says, there's a lot of things that you think that you have the right to do that you're doing that God says, it's destroying you. Cut it out. If it's not destroying you, it's destroying someone else. Cut it out. I'm going to ask you to grapple with that. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm just your preacher. I'm your pastor. I love you. Remember, honk, honk. I'm here to give you a little shove. I can preach this to you, but I can't live it for you. And this is where we're at with the message right now. So I would ask you to, I would have you ask God this. God, what filters do I need on my life? What do I need to filter out? What do I need to cut off? What do I need to go home and unsubscribe to immediately? Put filters on my internet. Get an accountability partner. You know, it's amazing what will happen in your life if you tell someone, Pastor Josh, I'm drinking too much. I've got a problem with alcohol. If you get accountable to somebody, you'll start to see change in your life almost immediately. Because you can't accomplish this on your own. It's how this is set up. And by the way, while I'm talking about this, nobody in this room is perfect. Not a single one of you. Me, nobody is perfect. We are all humans, and God knows that, and He knows that we have, for some reason, you know, for some reason we are drawn to the non-God stuff at times. He knows that. He understands that. And I've preached this before, but there's no perfect people allowed in this church because they're all hypocrites anyway, so get out. If you think you're perfect, you're not going to fit around in here. Nobody in here is perfect, and we're not expecting you to be perfect, but He's saying, listen, this is important. It's why I pray these prayers, and I'm going to share with you one of my prayers during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, Psalm 141, put it on the screen. It says this, Lord, don't let me drift towards evil. Don't let me take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the, he says, delicacies. So he acknowledges, some of this looks nice. Delicacies of what those who do wrong. Of those who do wrong. Got to pull back. It's time for us to get this together. Third thing that I would absolutely talk about, if I was going to talk about something. If. I would talk about your possessions and your stuff, and I would say, now is the time for everyone to organize their finances. Yeah. Organize your finances around give, save, and live. Give, save, and live. In fact, that would be a... I could put a period right here on the message, and that would be enough for us, I'm pretty sure, today. But I'm not going to. Because a lot of us, our finances are just whacked out of order. Our priorities are wrong. We are messed up with our finances, and... if you were to put them in order, just watch and see what God would do through the ability to bless you. You understand that God blesses those who are trustworthy, who are faithful. And so we're asking God to bless, oftentimes, unfaithfulness when our finances are out of order. I love my children so much, but I understand that if I can't trust my kid with a 20, I'm not giving her 50. I didn't mean to say her. Moonwalk right back over here. And we're oftentimes asking God to do something that we wouldn't do ourselves. Why would you trust? If you can't trust somebody, why would you give them more? And God's saying, put your stuff back in order. There are God principles. And when you start getting into Scripture and understand God's principles, it's all about give, save, and live. And it's in that order. Give, save, and live. A lot of us have never organized our life around that, and we're following Jesus, and then we're wondering why our finances are always stressed out, or why they're whacked out, or why nothing's working out. It's because you're out of balance. You're out of balance here. You're violating a principle that comes straight from God.
Oh, Pastor Josh, you're just saying that because you're probably going to take another offering up, and I ain't giving, and I don't care.
If you didn't give the first time, you're definitely not giving this next time. And let me tell you, we're not receiving a second offering. We're not doing anything like that. My motivation is not to get something from you. It's to get God's word in you. Yeah. I clapped on that one too. Lord, have mercy. Half the prayer requests we get here deal with money. They deal with finances. And I'd love to sit down and say, hey, can we talk about organizing your finances? Because God has a plan for that. He has a plan for that. He has a plan for you to give, to save, and to live, and to organize that. By the way, we got classes. They're going to be offered real soon. Billy and Sabrina and some other ones have gone through the financial piece and have helped so many people through. And they're going to, we talked about that, bringing that back. And this is the principles that they teach. To get your finances in order and be generous. And by the way, New Life, You are one of the most generous churches in this tri-state region. And I mean that with everything in me. And I'm not saying that to pander because I've been slapping you around. I'm saying that because it's true. Right now, people are reaping the benefits of your generosity, not just locally, but across the world because of your willingness to be generous with what God's already given you. I mean, from kids and people on the island of Haiti getting meals and clothes and help and school and education to local kids right now who have food this weekend because you sow and you give. We're helping both locally and overseas, internationally, and it's all because of your willingness to be generous. Generosity is important. It's valuable. And for some of us, we're thinking, God, I would love to be more generous. I'd love to be in a position to give. Well, then listen, that doesn't happen by accident. You don't just stumble into generosity. It's intentional. It's a part of the heart. This is where Jesus emphasized, this is very, very important. You'll also discover this, that as you get these finances in order, you're actually drawing closer to God in the process. Wait, what? Yeah, it's in Scripture. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. For where your treasure is, there your what? Heart is also. Wherever you put your money, wherever you put your time, wherever you put your treasure, Jesus says, you're putting the most valuable things of your life. He's saying your heart's going there too. So whenever I start getting my finances in order, I'm giving God more of my heart. When I give God my time, I'm giving Him my heart. When I'm giving my energy and my hands and my feet and my mouth and my thoughts, I'm also giving Him my heart. He's saying, when you chase me and you find me, you're giving me all of you. I can work in and through you. It's a powerful, powerful thing. You're honoring God. I love what Proverbs says. Honor God with everything you own. Honor God with everything. So I stand before God and say, God, I don't own any of this. This is all yours. You own my life. You own my car. You own my marriage. You own my family. You own my home. You own my job. You own everything, God. It's all yours. You own it all, God. You own everything. So He says, give Him the first and give Him the best. Everybody say this. Say, put God first. Let that rule you. Put God first. Put God first. This year, put God first. If you'll put God first, you'll see yourself, find yourself drawing closer to Him. You'll see life coming together. Last one. Last one. I would tell you with this last one that you're only going to get to where you want to go with a set of disciplines, and that your circumstances are not why you're at where you're at right now. Both good and bad. It's not because of your circumstances. I know that in 2020, everybody wants to play the victim card. I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. I've been victimized, I've been this, I've been that. Listen, I know a lot of people who actually have been victimized. And even those people aren't playing the victim card because they've given their lives to Jesus. And they understand that Jesus has given them a choice of life or a choice of death. And they have chosen life. So your life right here, right now where you sit is not based on the circumstances. It's based on your disciplines. You have what you have right now because of your disciplines. Not because you were victimized, not because of what you went through. It's because of your set of disciplines. And this is what I would tell you. Number four is this. It's time to start living life more intentionally. That means you are doing things on purpose. You're worshiping on purpose. You're giving on purpose. You're studying on purpose. You are disciplining yourself to follow Jesus and to live for God. Understanding I'm not a product of my circumstances. I'm a product of my choices and my disciplines. You know, weak sauce, fake, shallow Christians have no discipline. It's the truth. You want to find someone who's got a shallow faith, you'll find someone who also has no discipline in their life. This is so important. Proverbs 20. The Bible says there's a bunch of people who don't have daily disciplines and they don't plow. Sluggards. Sluggards don't plow. They don't do it. Whether or not they see fruit, they don't plow. I'm not getting up. I'm not doing it. I don't feel like. No, no, no. Whether I see something producing or not immediately, I know that if I'm trusting God and I have sowed a seed, if I have trusted God and I have prayed a prayer, I'm going to get up and do it every day and thank Him. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to give Him something to work through, work with every single day. Listen, I got to understand that one day that seed will grow and I need to be in position to harvest it. I want to be in a position to receive once I've sown. That means I don't quit. That means everything I do is disciplined and it's intentional. It's on purpose. So what do you mean? I got to pray every day? What do you mean? I got to read my Bible every day? What do you mean? I got to give? I mean, I did all this last week. Yeah! Do it every day. Be consistent. That's the key. Discipline yourself. There's a reason why Jesus called His 12 disciples. They were disciplining, following Jesus, His teachings. They were disciplined in their lifestyle to follow Him. Were they perfect? God, no. They were crazy at times. And so are we. But this has got to be on purpose. It's got to be on purpose. How many John Maxwell fans do we have in here? Love John Maxwell. Just amazing books and leadership. He says you got to swing that axe every day. He says don't expect to chop this huge tree down all in one swing, but swing it every day. Just every day, taking a hit at it. Every day, and eventually guess what's going to happen? You're going to cut that tree down. But if you cut out and you give up and you miss a day, don't miss two. If you miss 2 days, don't miss three. Get back to taking a swing. And he talks about the power of the five principle. The power of the five principle. And I thought this was important. This was pretty cool. He talks about make sure that every day in your life there are five things you do. Five things you do that no matter what, I'm going to accomplish these five things. These five things. And I've got on screen, I'm going to show you my five things. These are five things that I do every day of my life, no matter what. I've got them listed here. Every day, spend time with God in prayer. Every day is something that I'm going to do, no matter what. Every day, I'm going to get in the Word of God, and I'm going to study God's Word. Every day, I'm going to love those closest to me. So I'm going to make sure that I tell my wife and my kids every day, somehow, some way, that I love them. I'm going to show them somehow, some way that I love them. I do not want them going one day without them knowing that dad or husband loves them. Are you proud of me? I said dad and not daddy. Next, I'm going to make a difference in someone's life. I'm going to find a way to encourage somebody through a message, through a tweet, through a Facebook status, through something, through a call, some way I want to make a difference in somebody's life every day. Doesn't need to be a big, big moment. Sometimes it's just bragging on somebody I see at the gym. Man, you did awesome at that. Way to hit that. They're like, yeah, well, I made a difference. And then take care of myself. Take care of myself. I'm going to make sure I get enough rest, make sure I'm drinking enough water, making sure I'm exercising, making sure I'm cutting things out that I don't need to eat. Do I still have my cheat days? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have one at the end of the day. It'll be a big one. But these are things I do. So at the end of the day, if I've not prayed, if I've caught myself, oh, my gosh, I got busy, I didn't pray, I will pray something. If it's like a 20-second prayer, I will pray. If at the end of the day I've not read my Bible, I'll do something. I'll read one scripture. But I'm going to do these things every day. If at the end of the day I've not encouraged somebody, my wife's about to get the crazy encouragement. Or my kids or somebody. I'll do something. Every day, these five things. And I prioritize them and make sure they happen. It's intentionality. Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days, God. Help us to spend them as we should. Make sure that we are taking advantage of the time that we have because time is running out. Now, I gave you a bunch of things to fill out today, and I'm going to run through this in about 2 minutes because you're smart people. You'll get these pretty quick, so I don't need to spend a lot of time on this. But none of these things that we've talked about today will happen unless you're able to apply these next three steps. These are very, very important action steps, application that you've got to have if you're going to accomplish these things. And again, I'm going to close, and you're smart people, so you'll get this. Number one is this: you must know your purpose. You must know your purpose. If you have no why, you'll lose your way. You got to know why. You got to know that you have a purpose and a plan in life. You got to understand that I'm gonna have a purpose in this. You know, Jeremiah, the Bible says, and I put this in your scriptures, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. And I am preaching this, I'm going to continue to preach this, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, no matter who you are, where you've come from, what you've gone through. You're here today, and if you're here today, God has a plan for your life. And according to the Word of God, that plan is to prosper you, not to harm you. It's for your good. It's to give you hope and a future. It's to help establish the kingdom of God in your life. God has a great spiritual plan for your life, and I'm going to preach that until the day I die. That applies to every single living person in this planet. But you have to know your purpose. You got to know your purpose. That I've got a purpose in this. This is bigger than me. The reason why I got to cut these things out, the reason why I've got to get my finances in order, the reason why I've got to get my life in order, organize my schedules, because there's a greater purpose that God has for me. I don't want to in any way hinder that or stall it out. Number two, you got to have a plan. You have got to have a plan. That means like you got to go home and you got to schedule. You got to prioritize. You got to write these things down. If you have to, you're saving money, you call up Netflix and you cancel today or whatever it is, you got to pull the plug or cut the cord or back off Amazon or stop drinking $6 coffees and Folgers, you know, go Folgers in your cup. It's the best part of waking up. That was so super lame. That also means that you get accountability. That means that you talk to somebody. If you've got issues and you need help, go to Celebrate Recovery. Go to CR tonight. Start tonight. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Start tonight. 5:30. Show up. You don't have to come in and be like, ah! No, just come in. Start. Be intentional. Have a plan. Let God to work through this. Proverbs 17, because a wise person, the intelligent people, he says, aim at wise actions, but fools start off in many directions. I want to have a purpose. I also want to have a plan. And number three, I'm going to need some accountability. I can't do this on my own. Like if you try to do this on your own, you're going to fail. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry, but you know, it's like whenever you're working out at the gym, if you have a workout partner, it's so much better. You get it done because you've got someone accountable to help keep you there and work out and motivated. Just change. It's a principle here. So if somebody else knows what you've been clicking on, that'll hold you accountable. You're less likely to click on it because you know you're about to get a call. You're about to get a message. Accountability. It's powerful. It's scriptural. The Bible teaches that two are better than one. It's in Ecclesiastes in your notes. Two are better than one. Now, I hope that y'all have heard my heart in this. That I'm not just preaching things for you to do and to not do and to cut it out or else. I believe that now is the time. God wants to do so many great things in and through our lives. And we want to cut out the things that are holding us back and really strive towards the things that God wants for us so we can really step into 2020 full force with the blessing of God. And so when we look back, we come to this point next year, 2021, we can, instead of saying, God, I wish I would have listened, we can say, thank you, Jesus, for the journey you've brought me on. Thank you, Jesus, for where you've brought me to. And I still believe that our best is yet to come. And God, we are moving forward in the name of Jesus. Now, all these steps that I've talked about, these are not human steps. These are faith steps. This is God working in and through you. This isn't you just self-motivating and getting this done. No, this is God working through you. So this is faith, taking steps of faith to change and to see more of Jesus and less of me and more of Jesus and less of non-God things in our life and more of Jesus. And so it's a powerful thing to take these steps of faith and to consecrate our hearts and to dedicate our hearts and our lives and to open ourselves up and say, God, I want to give you all. I want to give you more of me.